I want us to turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. And for those of you who tuned in late, we'll probably be doing this at least one more Sunday and maybe two here in the parking lot. Okay, so just stay tuned. And we're grateful that the people in our church that got the COVID are doing well, that they're not having severe symptoms or anything. And so we're just praising God for that. There are people connected to the church, though, family members that have passed, and we grieve for them. We just pray for all those in our church right now. In fact, if you're dealing with COVID, maybe you're visiting on the Port Huron group or somewhere, you got a hold of us, and you're dealing with COVID or some kind of other ailment, just right now, I'm going to ask for healing power to be released. And the power is in the name of Jesus, and faith in the name of Jesus. That's what has the power to heal. So right now, I'm just going to pray in that name for anybody who has an ailment. If you have an ailment right now, whether you're here in the parking lot or you're at home watching on Facebook, or you're going to listen to this afterwards or watching this afterwards, just place your hand on whatever it is that needs healing right now. In fact, anybody who's having trouble walking, trouble in their feet, their knees, Father, we pray for anyone who's struggling in their feet, in their legs, knees, bones, hips, in the name of Jesus, that you would touch them, Lord God. Other ailments, pneumonias, God, just clear up people's lungs, heal them in Jesus' name. Oh God, touch each and every one, God. I pray even touch this neighborhood right now, Lord, that people would feel your presence, God, and they would just sense that there is a living God. They would feel your Holy Spirit. So Lord, even move throughout this neighborhood. Move to the boat ramp across the river and all the businesses there, God. Let them feel your presence, we pray, in the mighty name of Jesus. Time is running out, folks. We're watching Bible prophecies being fulfilled. And I'm telling you, don't wait. There are some of you, you have a background in the faith, and you've been taught the Bible, and you kind of know things, but you've not been serving God. Time is running out. You need to turn to him now. Because Bible prophecies, it's just mind-boggling to me. I'm watching the reality of the Bible being fulfilled in front of my eyes. And so turn to him. Turn to him. You feel his drawing. Turn to him now. In fact, before my sermon, Father, I pray if there's anyone within the sound of my voice, that, Lord, you would compel them to turn to you this moment. Lord, that they would stop waiting, God, because you don't know. We don't know what can strike us the very next moment. So, Father, I pray that people would turn to you, that they recognize that you died for their sins, Lord God, on the cross, according to the scriptures. You paid for their sins. You were buried. And on the third day, you rose again, according to the scriptures. And you were seen by many witnesses. Lord, you're alive today. And I pray that people right now would confess you as Lord. They'd make you their Lord. They'd just say, I'm done living my own life for me. I'm going to live for him. And that, Lord, they would turn to you even this moment, believing that you are alive in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I haven't even preached yet. If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Peter. Sorry, last week I was saying 1 Peter. But turn to 2 Peter. There are two typical questions in a job interview. And they are, what are your strengths and what are your weaknesses? These are usually the most important questions that an interviewer asks, whether it's for employment or whatever. And the second one is most important. What are your weaknesses? Because if you answer something really trivial, or you say, well, I don't really have any weaknesses, the interviewer's going to be, yeah, sure, okay, you're perfect. You're a perfect human being. Nice to know you, Jesus. It's great to have you in our, you know, trying to get a job here. No, that's not how you answer that question. And one day there was a guy getting interviewed, and the interviewer said, so what are your strengths? And the guy said, well, I'm a hardworking person. I'm very diligent. I do my work thoroughly. I'm disciplined, and you can count on me. And the interviewer then said, how about your weaknesses? What are your weaknesses? And the guy said, well, I have a tendency to exaggerate. Well, that's the wrong answer. Do not say that. By the way, if you're ever doing an interview, here's a trick. The best answers to those questions are, it's the same answer to both questions. What are your strengths? You know, you can say, well, I'm very diligent. What's your weakness? Well, I'm very diligent and I could burn myself out. They love that. That's a great answer. So if you're looking for a job, anybody, there's your answer. I just gave you a tip. You can send an offering today. Anyway. So anyway, Peter, the apostle, calls us to be diligent. He calls us to be diligent. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, it says this, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, giving all diligence, to knowledge add self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ if you add these things to your faith diligently. If you have your Bible or your phone, whatever you use for your Bible, just lift it up right now and say this with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. And today my mind is alert and my spirit is awake and I'm ready to receive the word and I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. And Lord, help Pastor Joe to keep it real simple and to preach louder than the diesel boats. In Jesus' name, amen. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. So Peter says, be diligent. He says, for this very reason, verse 5, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. We talked about giving all diligence last week, and diligence is the key to success. When you are diligent at something, suddenly you'll find a new gear, and you'll discover the ability to accelerate. You'll discover how to use your red muscle fiber. We talked about red muscle fiber, white muscle fiber, and that quick-acting muscle. And we're not just talking about physical muscle, but spiritual and mental, that when you're diligent, you'll find an acceleration. And then he says, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Add to your faith. Many people think Christian faith is all about subtraction. Get rid of this in your life. Get rid of that. But all that does, if all you're doing is subtracting, all that is doing is it's creating a vacuum in your life. And so what you need to do is more than just subtract stuff. In fact, the better thing to do is to add to your faith, as the Apostle Peter says. You got to add to your faith these things that we're talking about. So what are we to add to our lives? I'm glad you asked. Because Peter, the Apostle, gives us a whole list of things. And if we add these things to our lives, he says, we will not be unproductive and unfruitful. Now, that's a double negative, so it's confusing. So let's just make it in a positive. If you add these things to your life, you will be productive and you will be fruitful. Amen? And so you reap what you sow. And if we sow good things, if we sow good seeds, we will reap good things. So what are we to sow? This is what Peter's talking about here. Now, the first thing we're to sow is virtue. Virtue, he says. Some translations call it goodness or moral excellence, is how I think a number of translations. But W.E. Vine, he says this, he defines it this way. Whatever procures preeminent estimation for a person or thing, particularly in reference to moral excellence. Whatever procures a preeminent estimation of a person. A preeminent estimation. We are to add to our lives things that will cause people to see us with a preeminent estimation of our moral excellence. You got to ask yourself, are you procuring for yourself that preeminent estimation with those you go to work with those you go to school with? Are you procuring a preeminent estimation of your moral excellence in your home? Guys, how does your wife look at you? Does your wife have a preeminent estimation of you? Now, I speak to the husbands specifically because there's an interesting fact about this word virtue, and I shared a little bit about it last week. The root word of this word virtue is the word manly. Yeah, manly. That's the root word of virtue. You know, today's culture calls masculinity as something toxic. They talk about toxic masculinity. That's crazy. What do you women want? Another woman to be married with or something? You know what? Masculinity's toxic. Our culture is so twisted because they've been away from the Word of God. And we haven't been preaching the Word adequately. Yes, some guys are jerks, okay? But masculinity is not toxic. Masculinity is a virtue. It's virtuous to be a man, to have that courage, to have that boldness, to have that that self-sacrificing spirit, those things which are signs of actually maturity. That's true manliness. So going back to adding virtue, how can you display or procure for yourself a preeminent estimation in the eyes of those around you? How can you add to your life virtue? One of my Bible school professors shared a story about his life in his early years of ministry. And he talked about how he was working in an auto shop. And it was a typical auto shop, you know, they got the girly posters, a lot of cussing and swearing and but he came into that shop and he thought, you know, how can I be a witness here? How can I impact the lives of these men? They're not going to listen to me if I start preaching to them. They're not going to receive me. And so he began to seek the Lord. How can I reach these guys in the shop? And one day he was reading the book of James, and in James 2:18 it says, "But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works." And that really spoke to him, that he could show his faith by his works, adding virtue to his life, adding goodness to his faith. And so he just started to speak very positively there in the shop and positively towards the guys all the time. He put in real effort with the customers' cars. He really cared for the customers' cars. And just that attitude of goodness and bringing virtue into that place and caring about the other guys hey, how you doing? How's your family? I heard you were sick, or your mom was sick. How's she doing? Just adding that, the shop atmosphere completely changed. And one day, one of the sales reps comes into the shop, and he comes in with his usual, you know, telling these just off-color jokes and swearing and everything. And none of the guys were responding. And he started to get kind of nervous. And he's like, "What happened to you guys? You know, the girly posters were down." And he just couldn't figure out, what's up with you guys? And one of the guys said, "Well, ever since Jim started working here, we've become a lot different." And I thought, wow, one guy had such an impact on that auto shop. What are some ways you can add virtue to your life? How can you add goodness to your faith? Maybe it's tipping a waiter or a waitress a little bit extra. That's what I've been doing a lot here during this pandemic, because restaurants have really suffered in this season. I give very generous tips, especially places I go a lot, because I want them to know, they know I'm a pastor and stuff like that, and I want them to know that I care about them. How can you add goodness to your life? Maybe it's calling or preparing meals for, or just helping someone who's sick right now in some way, sending a meal over to them, to one of our elderly people, you know, cooking a little extra when you make your meal and bringing it over to them. That would be adding virtue to your faith. Maybe it's something, doing something for your spouse that normally he or she does, but you do it for them without them asking you. Maybe it's starting a kids club for this neighborhood or for the kids in our church and starting some kind of kids program here. Maybe it's volunteering here at the church or at the Sparrow Pregnancy Center or something. How can you add virtue to your faith? There's just so many ways, and we need to think about that. We need to think about that. That's what scriptures tell us to do. Now, the next thing Peter says is to add knowledge. And I'm going to talk about virtue, I've talked about, and one more thing, knowledge today. I heard something awful, horrible the other night. I heard that the Virginia school system is going to eliminate all accelerated programs in the public schools for all grades below 11. So if you're a kid and you're really smart and you are accelerating, you know, some kids, they graduate high school at 16 because they've taken accelerated courses. They go to college. And I had some when I was a campus pastor at the University of Michigan. We had some students that were 16 years old at the university. Well, they're eliminating that, except just for 11th grade and 12th grade. And their reason is, it's racist. Talking about crazy, it's racist to have accelerated program. In other words, what they're saying is, they're saying black people and brown people are too dumb to accelerate in their schoolwork. That's what they're saying. They're more racist than anybody. That's the most racist thing I can think of. It's horrible. But that's what they decide to do. Now I ask a question. You think China's dumbing down their students because of fears of racism? You know, while we're teaching kids about the 16 different genders, they're learning about math and science and physics so they can build bombs to destroy us. They're studying biology so they can invent viruses to attack us with. Do you think our enemies are dumbing down their education? Do you think China and Russia is dumbing down their education? Absolutely not. What you don't know will hurt you. And that's the title of this. What you don't know can hurt you. I won't even say can. What you don't know will hurt you. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Friends, I've said it before, I'll say it again. We are living in dangerous times. Not because of COVID, not because the Democrats are in power, or not because of even China or Iran or Russia. That's not what makes our day dangerous. We live in dangerous days because the word of God is not being preached in the Christian church. The word of God is not being preached. The Bible has been forgotten. And we're preaching philosophies and motivational stuff. And in the charismatic world, what's the latest prophet saying? Hey, I believe in the prophetic. I believe in dreams and visions. But that's so many Christians are more into dreams and visions, the latest prophecy, and they don't even know their Bible. How people have completely missed it on this pandemic just blows my mind. We completely missed it. People are prophesying things that are unbiblical and even anti-biblical. People are saying they're having visions of this and that. They're completely unbiblical. They don't know their Bibles. And my people perish for a lack of knowledge. We need to know the word. We need to be committed to the word like never before. Listen, yeah, I read that scripture. I was thinking about that. My people perish for lack of knowledge. And I thought, I wonder what the context of that is. And I'm telling you, this is the word of the Lord. I believe this is the prophetic word. I have a YouTube channel called The Scriptures Prophesy, because I'm tired of everybody prophesying out of their own brains and out of their own ideas and their own imaginations. The scriptures prophesy to our day today. And listen to what Hosea chapter 4, verse 1 through 6 says. The context of that verse that says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. It says, hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. Say the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. For the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. And he's talking to his land, his people, Israel. He's talking to us, friends. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying, killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed. I'm telling you, the spirit of abortion has released this promotion of abortion that has come with this new administration that is releasing a bloodthirstiness right now that you're... Have you noticed all the murders? All of a sudden, in the last year, there's all these shootings and mass shootings that stopped. That was gone for years. Those mass shootings, now they're all back. We're hearing about mass shootings everywhere. That's because that murder spirit has been released by those that promote abortion. It releases a murder spirit. And God does not like when there's this shedding of innocent blood. And he says here, they break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed. We know there's forgiveness with God. We know there's grace for those that have participated in that. But to promote it, to push it, that's wrong. Therefore, the land will mourn, and everyone who dwells there will waste away with the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. Even the fish of the sea will be taken away. Sorry, guys, fishing on the river. Fish of the sea will be taken away if we don't turn back to God. Now, let no man contend or rebuke another. That's all we're doing anymore in the church world. We're contending and rebuking everybody and not speaking the word, falsely accusing. That's what I'm saying. For your people are like those who contend with the priest. Therefore, you shall stumble in the day. The prophet also shall stumble with you in the night. And I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priests for me. He's speaking to the people. We are to be priests in this world. We're to be that connection between God and man. But he'll reject us from being priests if we're not in the word. Because you have forgotten the law of your God. I also will forget your children. Folks, do you care about your children? Do you care about them knowing the Lord? Do you care about them serving the Lord? You don't want God to forget your children? Make sure you honor the word. You know the word. You're following the word. You're obeying the word. Yeah, I'm going to wrap up here in a minute, but the preaching of the word is what brings revival. The word brings revival. You can see this throughout the Bible. You look at, for example, King Hezekiah, and he sent the Levites all throughout Israel to preach the law of the Lord. And all of a sudden, revival broke out. The people turned back to God. They crushed all the idols. They threw down the altars, the false altars, and burned them because the word was being preached throughout the land. King Josiah, his people found a copy of the book of the law in the temple when they were fixing it up. Josiah saw it, he tore his robes, and he gathered all the people of Israel for a gathering. He said, get over here, come to Jerusalem. And he, the king, read the law of the Lord to the people. Likely it was the book of Deuteronomy that we have now, that he read the law of the Lord. And the people repented, and the idols were cast down and crushed and burned down. The false altars were taken down throughout the land. The preaching of the word brings revival. And the one thing that I talk about all the time is the story of Ephesus, one of the greatest awakenings recorded in the Bible, where the city of Ephesus, which was a center of idolatry, suddenly became the center of Christianity in the world of that time. The center of idolatry, the worship of Diana or Artemis, one of the seven ancient wonders of the world, the Temple of Artemis, was in Ephesus. But such a revival broke out that the whole town turned, the whole city turned, and it became a center of Christianity where John the Apostle lived his later years in life and things like that, just amazing things. Well, it all started with the Apostle Paul going to Ephesus and preaching for over 2.5 years daily. First, he started the synagogue till they kicked him out. Then he found someone had a school, let him use that school, and he preached daily the word of God. And after 2.5+ years, all of a sudden this revival broke out where the Bible says he did extraordinary miracles. See, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So here he was doing, it says extraordinary. You know, aren't miracles extraordinary? Yes, but it points out that there are extraordinary miracles. Not just any old miracle, extraordinary miracle. And then on top of that, handkerchiefs were coming off of him. And they were coming off of him, and they would be placed on sick people, and they would be healed. Just amazing stuff was happening. I've been talking to a couple that are friends of Gene and I, have been with us in ministry many, many years, and our various churches and such. And the Lord has been speaking to us about the word, and that something about this Port Huron restatement is going to be the word, the word, the word, the word. And we may have, I picture this, that we will have somebody just reading the scriptures with our sanctuary and our prayer chapel open, and just people coming in, just listening, just laying on the floor, just in an attitude of worship and an attitude of God, speak to me as the word, just simply the word is being read, just like Josiah read the word of the Lord to the people. And maybe part of this night and day prayer is going to be daily reading of scripture, like Paul taught daily in the synagogue. And God's just opening up some things in terms of for me to teach, and teaching the word, that is what brings revival and awakening. So, again, how can you add to your virtue or your goodness knowledge? Well, make sure you have a discipline of reading the Bible, of hearing the Bible. You might say, well, I'm not a good reader. I don't like to read. I love reading, but my eyes are so cruddy, I need to get healed. That's hard for me to read. So I listen to the Bible. And you know, there's 10 zillion apps today that you can get to listen to the Bible. And I mostly listen to the Bible. And one of the ways I trick myself is, see, I like watching YouTubes. I've told you about that. Well, I found that I can read the Bible on YouTube, where it's dramatized version, where it's being read, and I can read it on the screen too, and I can hear it. And there's just something powerful about that. So many ways, just get the word in you. Dedicate the time, set the time aside, make it a priority. Get up earlier if you have to. Remember, I talked about when I was a hurdler, I'd get up an hour and a half early to go to school. I mean, school starts early for high school. And I got up even earlier to do those hurdles, and that got me to that acceleration point. It made me a champion. God wants you to be a champion in his word. What else can you do? Our Thursday night Bible studies. Tune in. If you can't tune in, make sure you're watching them, because this has been the word, so solid. I've been learning so much from the word on Thursday nights. It's affected my life. I know it's affected Gene's life. And so it just really encourages you to be a part of those Thursday night Bible studies. Go back, watch them, and then also read the notes that I've shared the notes with you. I've attached them and put them on Facebook. Get those Bible study notes and go through them. They're real simple. It's nothing fancy, no trick questions, but it's just good stuff. You know, if you missed our Thursday nights or back when we were doing it Wednesdays, whole book of Revelation we have. And we've done so many studies. So get into the Word. Add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge. Now, knowledge, and I'll close with this. Knowledge is not to just have a bunch of facts in your brain. Our end goal is to know the Lord. And when we talk about knowing the Lord, it's not knowing facts about God. It's knowing Him. It's having relationship. And you'll see all these things as we add to them, we will become fruitful and productive, but it says specifically in the knowledge of the Lord. And our end goal in all of this is that we know the Lord better. I want to know Him. Apostle Paul said, I want to know you. Relationship. And friends, those of you, if you're here, if you're online, it's about relationship. It's not about what denomination you're part of. It's not the facts you know, the beliefs you have. It's about knowing Him. That is what it's all about. If you don't have a personal relationship with you, if you didn't pray with me earlier here, if you're catching this later, go back and rewind this to right as I was getting started on my preaching. Ask Jesus into your heart and say, God, I want to know you. I want to know you personally. I want to have a relationship with you. And as we add to our faith virtue, and as we add to our virtue knowledge, and then we add the other things we'll be talking about, we will become productive, we will become fruitful, and we will know the Lord even more and even better. So friends, what you don't know can hurt you. And in these days, it's like the old Murder, She Wrote episode. What you don't know can kill you. So make sure you're growing in your knowledge, and specifically the Scriptures. Because I'm telling you, the Scriptures speak to every situation. The Scriptures speak to today. They are relevant to today. You could study all the books in the world, all the encyclopedias. You could Wikipedia yourself all day. The Word of God is where it's at. And that's the knowledge you need to grow in. We need to grow in. So Father, I pray today that we would be diligent to add to our faith virtue, and add to our virtue knowledge, and specifically the Word of God. Lord, we don't want to be judged as those who neglect your Word and have you turn from us. But Lord, we want to be diligent in your Word, diligent in serving you. So, Father, I pray that if you haven't spoken to hearts yet, that you will speak to hearts. You will continue to speak to hearts. That this message, because it is the Scriptures, will keep coming back in our minds and in our hearts, and would remind us gently, maybe remind us strongly if we need it, to add to our faith, diligently add to our faith these things. Father, again, I pray your blessing upon each and every one that's here. Lord, I thank you for those that are in the parking lot. I thank you for those that are watching online. We love you, those of you who are online. We love you, and we're so glad that we're honored by you joining in and watching today. I wanted to work things out so that I could get some people on screen here and pray for you or have you share a testimony, and I don't think that's going to work today because of all the challenges we've had here. But so great to see so many. Again, Rati, Felicia, Catherine, Lee and Linda, Pastor Lee and Linda, Nancy, great to see you guys. Jason, thanks for joining. And Kayla, great to see you on board. Oh, this is great. So many people are watching today. And those of you that are guests that are maybe have never been to Port Huron Assembly of God, we invite you to come. We'd love for you to come become part of our church family. And so you can grow in your knowledge of the Lord, and that's what you'll get here. You're not going to get just politics or philosophy or psychology, but you'll get the Bible. If you want Bible, come to our church and grow and watch us online. If that's an issue for you to be in with a lot of people still with all this COVID. So, amen, folks. God bless you.